In this case right here, we have seller perks or benefits. And again, years ago, we really didn't want to put this in. We didn't want to develop our pricing sheet the way we did, because what we were doing was we were leaving a lot of people open to exposure to internal revenue. But the thing is, we on one hand, we have a problem. How am I going to assist people in buying businesses and not get ripped off if we don't lay all the cards on the table? If it does happen that because of the forms we've developed, that the people that own these businesses have to expose the fact that they've been ripping off, I can just say one thing. IRS, have at them. Why do I feel that way? I pay a lot more taxes every year because people in business are continually Mickey Mousing. And what I'd like to tell you, again, restate what I've talked about before in the tapes. Why don't you consider getting a CPA, go the legitimate route on write-offs, and you're not going to have to Mickey Mouse. And the other thing you're going to find most of the time, you're going to have more write-offs legitimately than all the Mickey Mouse things you normally do. And IRS will be much happier. We can get them off our back. Now, as you start to analyze this and take the $50,000 that you had left after you subtract the expenses from the profit and add back in all these other items, if we haven't made a math mistake here, the net profit should come to $125,000. And on the line it says $125,000, which is a net profit on an all-cash sale. Now you're at the point and say, okay, where do we go now? Well, you now have $125,000 to work with if you happen to be the buyer, or if you're the seller, that's going to be available to the buyer of this business. We're now going to subtract the payments because we'd like to know what the cash flow is going to be after debt service. Again, you're going to have to become familiar with the terms. A lot of people think of cash flow as bottom line. Well, we're not exactly to the bottom line yet. It's cash flow after debt service. That's off to the right here. And you'll see that after we pay the loan on it, it's $90,259. But how do we arrive at this? In the middle of the sheet, just below the net profit here, as you go down to the middle section, you're going to find that we have different loans. It'll say loan number one, debt service, loan number two, and loan number three. For those of you getting into more of these, more than three loans, you may have to put a little trailer on the bottom of the sheet. If you get to this, I have a feeling you're also making a mistake if you have that many loans on it. But it'll happen occasionally. Okay, loan number one. Under it, it says amount, $300,000, 10% interest rate. We're financing for 20 years. Where did we get that from? Well, the owner asked for 25% down, so we're giving him $100,000 down, wherever we're getting it from, but we're still giving the $100,000 down. And the owner's going to finance $300,000 over a 20-year period. If you go just above a loan number one, it says the total debt service per year is going to be $34,741. In other words, your payments over 1 year will come to $34,741. Now, just off to the left, you'll find that we've split it up. And again, this is just in a rough manner. And since the interest is going to be 10%, and to keep this example simple, and the loan is $300,000, the first year, let's assume it's going to be $30,000. If you wanted to be exact as engineers and go to the tables, you'd find you're going to have a little different figure, a little less than $30,000. But just ballpark, because we're trying to use this as a worksheet, use 10%, and you're going to find it comes to $30,000 interest. And if you look over to the left then, if we're paying $30,000 interest of the $34,000, how much of it is principal? How much is going to pay down the money we owe? $4,741. We'll need that on the other side. Now, once we've subtracted the loan we're paying, because our loan payments every year on the $300,000 loan will be $34,741. If we then subtract that from the net profit above, you're going to find off to the right, the cash flow is how much? $90,259. Now, if there are additional loans on here, you can go out back and add these other loans. Or, if you want to analyze this from different standpoints, we've now analyzed it with $100,000 down. It's then possible for you to go back later and take the same sheet and analyze it with nothing down to find out what your return is or how it looks that way. So you can take it from a lot of different angles. But just to make it simple, it's $100,000 down. And say it's your money, your assets. We'll come back and look at it from another standpoint in a short while. Let's turn the page now. As you turn the page, you're going to find, and flip it over, you'll find that we have a little arrow up at the top which said 2 on the other side. And the little 2 said that the cash flow after debt service from the previous page was how much? Remember the figure, $90,259. Now, as the next step, what we're going to do now is we're going to figure out what our income tax is going to be in the company we're buying so we can show the buyer how much money they're going to have left. Not only after they pay the loans, which we already have, because after loans you have $90,259, but how much will I have left now as I subtract my taxes? Because I want to know how much is going to be available for me to put in my pocket. I mean, what do I have? So we look at the net profit of $125,000. Again, going off the left here, on the first line it says net profit, $125,000. Where do we get that from? From the prior page. Okay, so we have $125,000. Now, this is a normal thing that we'd normally have to pay tax on. But let's subtract the things that are not going to be taxable. First of all, any depreciation you have, ACRS, is not going to be taxable. So as you subtract this from the 125, okay, we subtract the 45,000. Now, how much depreciation was the owner taking? Something less. In fact, I think I gave you the wrong number before. I think I said 50. I was looking at the perks. But the number here is what? It's 45,000. So what you do now is you subtract the 45 because the 45,000 will not be taxable. Now, you're going to find that this is different from the 15,000, but this is why we make the change. Now, the next line, you're going to find we're subtracting buyer's perks. In this example here, we are assuming that the buyer is going to take the same perks and have the same write-offs that the seller had. Now, this is not always the case. And you're going to find as a seller sits down, or buyer sits down and talks to the seller, the buyer may decide to do things, either cut back on the perks they're taking or add to them. And you're going to find then the number can change. In this example right here, the buyer, person buying this business, decided to leave the numbers the same. They decided to take the same perks. The next year they may decide to change, add or subtract. But this year we have the same. The next area is the buyer's interest paid, because we also are going to find that the amount we pay in interest is not taxable. So we subtract the $30,000. And lo and behold, in this example, although we don't really talk about this in the total program, we happen to have a business that has no taxable income. Because of the write-offs, we've written off everything that would normally be taxable. Now, we have zero taxable income. Now, there may be special laws that are going to require you to still pay tax, but based on just our rough analysis we have here, we don't have to consider the taxes, although there may be a few little things that come up under the law. So we have taxable income, zero, which means the cash flow bottom line is still $90,259 because we don't have taxes due next year or this year. Now keep in mind one thing. You're going to find in business there are many ways for you to sit down with your CPA or tax advisor and do some tax planning. And you're going to find for the first year or two you may be able to minimize or get your taxes down to close to zero. Eventually it catches up to you. Now you're going to find you're going to end up paying tax. But the key thing to keep in mind, in the first couple of years, I keep trying to tell you, there's nothing wrong with owning real estate or other tax shelters. What I'd like you to do is go out and get involved in businesses and make a lot of money, write off as much as you can the first year or two, legitimately, and then after that, go after the tax shelter. Get the money first, because if you don't, you end up with a tax loss carry forward. That's stupid. What you want is what? Money first, and then write off. And you're also going to find that don't start spending all your time going after tax write-offs, because you're going to find that in the same amount of time that you go out looking for Mickey Mouse tax loopholes and things like that, you could actually make more money by going out productively and earning more money in your business. Because for every hour you spend on tax cheating, you could spend that hour productively on your business and make even more money after taxes. You've got to get this tax mentality out of your mind. That's for investments that don't make money. You're in a cash position. You shouldn't be goofing around with all these things. Let your CPA do it. Now, we go down to the bottom now, and we're going to start figuring out what the cash flow is. We're going to figure the return. Now, we've put up $100,000. If you wanted to figure the cash return, and it's not on this sheet, your cash on cash, it'd be a $90,000 return on $100,000. So what would your cash on cash return be? About 90%, which is pretty darn good. Now, if we take the cash flow here of $90,259, and where we have the number one in bold, you're going to find we're going to add back in the equity, because we're going to have cash in pocket, and then we're going to have equity build up of $4,000-some. Now, we are not building up the appreciation of the business. And I just want to tell you something. As you keep increasing the profit, we have inflation, you're going to find that in this country, your business is going to go up in value. Not only are you going to make a lot of money every year, but you're going to find every year your business is going to appreciate, as long as you're doing it properly. And you're going to find that although your business this year, you're buying for $100,000, you're going to find the next number of years it's going to be worth $200,000, and eventually $1 million. Yes, it does go up in value, even though we don't talk about it that much. Now, the total return now comes to $95,000. That's the cash buildup plus the equity. And that's the return on $100,000. And you're going to find your total return here is 95%. In fact, I want to tell you something. When a lot of you come to me and tell me you have a 20 or 30% return, although that's good in the total marketplace, it means you're looking at the wrong type businesses. Most of the returns we run into are up in the category of 100% or more. Now, let's go back to it, because I'm going to blow your mind with numbers, and I'd love to do this on the tape because I know you're going to spend many hours, especially if you engineers or people like to work with math. Let's go back to the other side now, and without using another sheet of paper, let's just analyze this and because this is simple. You don't have to even write this down. Suppose that we were to go out now on this business, and we don't want to put up the 100,000. We're back on 11.1. Instead of doing that, we're going to have loan number two here, and we're going to borrow the 100,000 from suppliers. Now, normally, suppliers don't charge us interest, and if you work it right, you're going to find that you don't have to repay it as long as you're doing business with them. Well, if this happens to be the case here, how would this influence side one? Would the cash flow after debt service change? No. Because what you're going to find is the cash flow after debt service would still be $90,259. Now let's flip the page over, keeping in mind that we have now financed the business 100%, say using supplier financing or some other technique. That means the cash flow here is still $90,259 bottom line after taxes. Correct? Yes. Hasn't changed. Now let's go over to the other area. Because right now we have a $95,000 return on what investment? Aha, zero. What is 95,000 divided by zero? And you're going to find your return is infinite. But being math people, why don't we divide by one? Let's assume an investment of $1. In fact, what I'd like you to do is make sure in the transaction you put up $1 or have your client put up a dollar. What is a $95,000 return on a $1 investment as a percentage? And as you sit there trying to figure it out, supposing the figure comes to a $9,500,000 return. Suppose you miss a decimal point. Suppose you tell the world you only got a $950,000 return. Suppose you miss another decimal point and say that your return was only 95,000%. How about 9,500%? 950%? What I'm saying is when you figure this out, even if you miss a decimal point, the return is obscene. And that's what I think is fantastic about owning a business. Love it.